Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's early in the morning, better when I ride. Lordy, mama. Well, it's early in the morning, better when I ride. Well, it's early in the morning, better when I ride.
Hey, I hope everybody can hear us. I see someone saying they can't hear anything. Imagine, can they hear us now?
Tell them to, if you can send a message, tell them to refresh their page and it should load the audio.
Refresh. This is the technical difficulty they be talking about with Blog Talk Radio. Look.
There it is.
I want to make sure.
Yep.
All right, they can hear us now? Yeah, I want to make sure everybody can hear us. Let's see.
Yeah, it's
well,
just
hello, hello.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, it's good now. Assalamu alaikum. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the next show of Ancestor Healing Chronicles Unfiltered. Today, me and Tata Elias will be talking about ancestral reverence, shrines, altars, and how to deal with ancestors, I guess, from different points of views, because everyone don't deal with them the same.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for joining us, Tata.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. How you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Waiting to see if anybody is willing to share with us a little bit of their personal experience as far as ancestor reverence.
Oh, yeah. I'm quite sure someone will chime in later on, and I'll be ready for it. And they can always call in and ask questions. I guess to just start with, I would like to, you know, tell the differences between how some cultures deal with ancestors. Not every culture actually deals with the reverence of them in the same way. Some cultures deal with ancestors more than others do. Some cultures will tell you that, you know, you can only deal with the elevated ones, the heroic ones, or the ones that are only done positive with inside the tradition or the culture or the community.
Mm-hmm.
Some cultures include all of them, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Some add in family members only. Some add in national ancestors. You know, and of course, you know that when an ancestor is elevated to a certain position, they go to the positions of what some people choose to call gods or deified ancestors, or, you know, even, you know, some ones that they become demons,
mm-hmm.
you know, because of the things that they have caused, you know,
right.
their actions in life. So, with that being said, the way that we practice our ancestral reverence is going to be like, well, it's going to be up to the tradition we follow, or it's going to be upon our own, based on our own family experience with it, if we have it. Okay?
Right.
I know here in the West, there's not too many people that have that experience with ancestral reverence. Or they won't,
right.
Well, it's not easy to recognize, I'll say it like that, even though it might
mm-hmm.
have been happening all along. Okay? So, with that being said, Tata, can you give me any examples of how, when you were growing up, that your family practiced something that was traditional and passed down?
Splashing cold water on me all the goddamn time.
We'll say that was one of the main ones, huh?
Yeah, no, they would actually do it, but you know, when you're a child, you don't know any better. So they would do the spiritual baths, and they would just catch me off guard with the spiritual baths and toss them on me. So I'm thinking they're over here playing practical jokes on me and stuff like that. So as far as my family is concerned, they're very secretive with it. They would never really let you know, you know, they were doing actual, you know, ancestral work, period. Everything was either, for the kids, was either a game or, you know, sometimes you act like you're a punishment, like you're in trouble for something, and you get that cold water splash or that, you know, whatever the case, whatever they would give you. But the ancestors, as far as my family's concerned, was more for the adults. Anything for the children was more for, you know, protection and enlightenment or whatever the case may be. I got a little bit older. I actually got in contact with my grandmother. And my grandmother started walking me in through the Espiritismo part, little by little. The Espiritismo that she practices is not the Espiritismo that a lot of people know. As a matter of fact, Yaya's Espiritismo is not the Espiritismo that is commonly known. So the ancestral reverence as far as the family is concerned, was very private, and the things that I am trying to weed around it, that were used, or the tools used, were not the same as what you would see today. That
okay.
I can tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
that stuff
mm-hmm.
is just as It's strong. It's strong. If done correctly, it's strong.
Okay, so what are you saying? Like, safe to say that y'all did it family by family.
Right.
And it's not something that a lot of people will say, okay, well, we do that as well.
Right.
Unless they're a part of your family.
Right.
Okay, because I guess what I'm getting at is, in these times, in these days here, you have people, you know, they read in the books, say, okay, this
mm-hmm.
is what you do for ancestor reverence. You know, and with that, everybody go set up a bovada, or everybody
right.
go do a certain specific thing. I'm sitting up here playing with this chat room thing, man, and it's Blog Talk is tripping tonight. So, so you know, I'm just tripping with it. And you know,
generic ancestor reverence.
Right, it's very generic. Okay. You know, they mm-hmm. take from the Lakumi. They'll take from other traditions, and they'll, you know, hodgepodge, put stuff together, and say, okay, well, this is what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been hearing some strange lately that I never heard of a damn life a hoodoo ancestor altar, which is something I never heard of. You know, personally, for my family, yeah, you know, whatever that may be. But I think what it is a take on Lakumi, if you ask me personally, or maybe the Bovada. Because I often ask people, why do you have 9 glasses up there? You know, you don't practice
mm-hmm.
the Lakumi tradition, or you don't practice the Spiritismo. have these things up there, you know.
Right.
The truth that I can tell is if you have something on your shrine and you don't know what it is, why have it up there? I had one young
exactly.
lady tell me, you know, she had the glasses up there, and I didn't make her. Okay.
Don't lie. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Don't lie.
Yeah, I told her to take it down. I'm sitting up here trying to control this thing as well as be on here, and they tell me, well, you can't, you know, another user is logged in, blue, 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 whatever. I don't know what to do with this thing. But anyway, you know, the young lady, she had the glasses up there. I asked her, what were they up there for? She said, I don't know. You know, they just told me to put them up here. I said, well, why don't you just take them down? If you don't know why they're up there, they don't serve no purpose. You know, you got these portals
right.
up here, and for what? You know?
Exactly.
So, oh, well, I don't know. So, man,
yeah,
you know.
It's like I said, there's too much. It's a hybrid form of whatever the base practice is. They like you were saying, they borrow from here, from there, and they start, like you're saying, making that little mix of stuff and think that with that they're going to get somewhere with it. I mean, really, if anybody's looking at I'm speaking from the epitetimo point of view, like I said, my wife's family and how she does her epitetimo is way different how I do my epitetimo from my family side. But the point is this, that if we sit and we do a reunion and we sit, let's say it would be her people or my group and her group, and we would sit down, that group, mine and her, should be able to see the same exact thing, hear the same exact thing. If you're connected, because that's the whole point of that, is to have a connection to your ancestors and
Absolutely.
Deal with the problems on whatever are the problems on a daily basis, or go back and forth with it. For example, I say, oh, I might see such and such type of spirit, and it has a watch on. And then her side will be like, yeah, well, yeah, the watch is this type, is a Rolex, is like this. And I will confirm, well, yes, that's what it is. If you're connected, then your espiritismo, your form is working correctly. What people don't understand is that these things are tools to become an active espiritista, or if you could say sort of a priest. So you just can't be throwing up bovidas up in the air and throwing them in there saying, okay, this is just for my ancestors from the espiritismo point, and this is just for my ancestors, and not expect things to start coming out and start messing with you. And if you're not taught or trained, depending on the situation, if you're not taught or trained, that can make you go crazy.
Absolutely. You say you're hearing stuff that ain't actually there.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. It's not actually there, you know, so you're just kind of wasting your time, you know. Besides that, I realize that people want to have the connection with their ancestors, but I remember a time where it wasn't this much talk about Bakulu ancestors and all this stuff in the air. They regulated them to like a second-class citizen or a second-class status dealing with their spiritual work. It was always the gods first, this, that, and then, you know, well, okay, the ancestors, whatever. Like I said on another show, they, you know, they sit them with a stick in the corner and let them be there. There's a lot of people say that you shouldn't work your ancestors, not work with, but work them. You know, that was a big thing when I was in Lukumi. They said, never work your ancestors. And, you know, me, I'm being rebellious. I didn't understand that. You know, but to me, that's the first line of defense and the first line of assault. And they have your back more than anything else you can ever deal with. So, you know, I chose to deal with them on a whole different level. And years ago, when we began to talk about this and brought it to the light, we used to get a little flack for it, you know, but that flack changed. Now, you know, everybody's saying, you know, okay, let's work with these ancestors. You know, it's ancestors, ancestors. Now we got ancestor this page, ancestor that page, ancestor this, ancestor that. And I'm not complaining. I love to see it. you know. But people need to make sure they're dealing with them in the proper way.
Mm-hmm.
They can be as dangerous as dealing with a spirit that you know nothing about.
Well,
you
they're saying ancestor this and ancestor. You're right. They have a lot of, I've been seeing that. But what
mm-hmm.
ancestors are they dealing with?
Right.
What ancestors? What class of ancestors are they dealing with? This
they
is what they don't understand. Exactly. Exactly. And playing around with any spirit entity, they just put it like that below. So we're talking about ancestors, but any spirit entity.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you'll actually tap into something, and when it opens that door and you don't know how to close it, all hell break loose, and you got to run to somebody to fix your problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you guys really are not experiencing that type of work, don't go experiment with them, because you can open the door and create a
Absolutely.
Lot of problems.
Absolutely. You know, now I can understand from that aspect of, you know, a priest in one of the traditions say, hey, man, just deal with your elevated ones and let me help you to find out which ones are elevated. You know, I can understand that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But to say don't work with them, period, you know, I don't understand that. Someone will have to teach you how to work with them. Because like you said, you get to call an old Bob, you know what I'm saying, you used to hear stories about, your aunt used to tell you, and Bob come to you, and you don't know really what his character was and how what his energy is, Bob will get you up out of there real quick.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you got ancestors that love you so much, they want to tell you, either they want you there or they want to be here.
Yeah.
And that means either you'll be mounted or you'll be taken up out of here.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. I agree with you 100% on that.
Mm-hmm. My thing is not this. It's not just making it spooky. That's not the thing. The thing is, it's serious. It's serious work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is something that, you know, you should get guidance on, especially if you've never done it before. Then you have people to tell people, well, anybody can put up ancestor shrine. Well, not really. No, you can't.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, what cultural viewpoint are you coming from? Okay, if you're just coming from, you know, your family's viewpoint, well, that's another thing. I can't tell you not to do that because your family would be the one to say, hey, this is how we do it. But
exactly.
If they're not used to doing it, hey, you're going to mess up in the beginning anyway. You know?
Exactly.
So, like I said,
we're going to have some fun soon with that. We're going to have some fun later on. You know,
yeah.
That we'll discuss off air, but we're going to have a lot of fun with that later on.
Oh, most definitely. I'm trying to patch in right quick, Tata, to tell someone to call in here because I'm about to have a small bout. Yeah, I feel it coming, bro. Well, I'm explaining to the people what's going on. I may have a bout of food poisoning. From eating the wrong
just
thing.
Just a tad.
Yeah, because I'm hot and sweating. Could you please further, if you can, explain, give me like 5 minutes and explain the setup, a regular setup that everybody used to hearing about for Spiritismo and what some of the things mean?
Well, the generic version?
Yeah, the generic version. I'm going on mute right now, Tata.
Okay.
I'm still here, though. I'm going on mute.
Yep. Assalamu alaikum. Well, the generic view or the generic practice of Espiritismo, what we know is Espiritismo Cruzado. Espiritismo Cruzado is when they use statues of St. Barbara, the Virgin of Charity intermixed with their Espiritismo. It's actually a cross between Congo practice, Lukumi practice, and ancestral reverence. Normally the setup is used depending on the house. If you're in that type of Espiritismo Cruzado, there's a certain way you prepare each statue. You will pack a statue like you will pack a fetish. I think I'm releasing too much information there, but for the sake of the radio, there are certain ceremonies that you do to those things, and they, if done correctly, will walk and will hit just like lukubi, like voodoo, like hoodoo, whatever you got. The ancestor reverence, as far as the Bovada's concerned, it all depends on the house, but normally the base will be 7 and 9 cups. Everybody has their own different set way, but the generic version would be that each cup represents a certain ancestor. This is erroneous, as the cups all represent, depending on the number of cups, would be the size of the portal that needs to be open. There are proper rituals or prayers that are said to open that portal. What they normally use now is Catholic prayers, Christian prayers, more for the ancestors. But in reality, is an actual conjuring or ritual to open up a portal where the ancestors can come forth and do the work they need to do. So you have to look at it on which end of the spectrum your espiritismo come from. You have the espiritismo cordón, you have the Kardec espiritismo. There's various branches of espiritismo on its own. So when we look at ancestor reverence through that part, you have to pretty much, if anybody's going in these circles, have to figure out where is their core focus. Is it just straight on the ancestors itself, or is it intermixed with, you know, African deities, or is it intermixed with Indian deities or treaties? All of that plays a part. The main tool for an espiritista, any knowledgeable espiritista, will be one cup of water. One cup of water, one candle. With one cup of water, one candle, you do a lot. The addition to the other cups, normally will have to do with addition of elements. Let's just put it that way. Additions of elements or powers that gets added to increment the size and the density and the strength of said portal that you want to summon. There's not just one portal. There's various portals with their various colors, which is, this is the representations of the colors of certain tables. People have a misconception of that you have the white table or the white mask, because that's what they use, the white mask. But it's actually different colors to represent different portals. They make the mistake of saying it represents different classes of spirits. To an extent, they're correct, but it's actually the actual portal. There's the 7 African powers, which that right there has nothing to do with espiritismo. There's a lot of people that have this misconception that these 7 colors represent the 7 African powers, when it actually represents demon summoning. So if you didn't know about it, now you know about it. The 7 colors are for demon summoning. They just syncretized it with Lukumi elements. If you have the 7 colors and you're dealing with it on the table, my suggestion is to be very careful, because if that portal does open, you're going to have very serious issues closing it. Do not associate the 7 African powers with the 7 colors, just to avoid a lot of difficulty. This is the majority of how a lot of people that practice espiritismo, or that they might have some form of ancestor reverence, and they accidentally tap into this portal by the use of those 7 colors. And sometimes it's by accident. They might just have a setup, and they might just make the right move the right piece, and activate this portal. The problem with this is, the first thing it goes for are the children. So you got to be very careful. If you have children and you have the seven, what they call the seven African powers, be very careful because it will go for the children first. Pets first and then children primarily. If there's anybody on the line that has any questions, feel free to call in or feel free to send a message on the chat. Any questions
okay,
out there?
I'm back. Yeah, Yayi, the Fear is on the line as well.
Good, good.
Yayi, the Fear?
Salam alaikum.
Salam alaikum. Tata and Tata.
Salam alaikum. Salam
alaikum.
Hey,
so I have a question myself. You were talking about the spiritismo and the colors that you put on the table, and then you start talking about the seven colors and them representing demons. Can you go into more, as much as you can, in regards to what demons those colors represent?
Yeah, but I can't talk about it on the radio. I could tell you in private.
Okay, so what can you tell me on the radio?
Okay, those demons, it's not just seven demons. Let's just put it this way. It's a portal. The seven colors and how you go about it with the seven colors is to open up a portal. That particular portal opens a particular gate, and depending on how you switch your colors around, opens up a different portal by the way you do your conjuring. Okay? Now, people can set this up by accident and bring something forth. So when we talk about the type of demons, depending on how you have your seven colors set up, you can bring anything from the lowest class to very, very strong hierarchical demons in. Especially
so define what demon is, because there are different spiritual or religious definitions of what that is. So what is demon in spiritismo?
Demon in spiritismo is something very ugly that likes to kill and take blood. That's what demon is to us. Pretty much cut and dry. Anything that is coming to kill and destroy doesn't care for no life whatsoever. That's a demon.
So
okay, I guess that's pretty much a universal definition.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it safe to say that a lot of forms of spiritismo have a Catholic or Christian foundation to it?
Well, it all depends on the type of espiritismo work. You see what I'm saying? When we say demon, you know, people have this understanding of a demon with horns and tails and hooves and stuff. I personally can't say I've seen that, okay? I cannot say that. But I'm not going to say seen, I've witnessed the phenomenon, which is different. I've witnessed this energy come and do some very serious damage. I've witnessed, I especially seen it. I've seen where these things, and so have your Yaya, and her stories, because actually we share stories, but I've seen where these things actually grab kids. And what I mean by grab kids, there's no physical body, no mounting. It grabs the children to take them, and literally these kids start levitating. Okay? Because it's trying to take the child or trying to take whatever's around. I've seen it move objects, not poltergeists, move objects, inflame objects. Your Yaya have seen stuff like that similar. They'll mark you. And if they mark you, that's a bad thing. Okay, now I can't give you a description of seeing one, but I can give you a lot of what phenomenon they do. That I can tell you plenty of.
Yeah, that's something
so
that
what
we
would
talked
be
about
the
last
point
week.
Of... I'm sorry, Tata.
No, I was just saying that's something we talked about last week. Everybody has their own specific gift. Some people see more,
right.
Hear more. Some people smell. Some people feel. You know, and everybody has their gifts. I know for one example, and Yaya and Fear can tell you, we have seen her pulled in a closet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. we have seen that, you know, with her, and she's a heavy medium. Yeah, she's a heavy medium. So we have witnessed a few things that, you know, you couldn't even explain away if you wanted to happen with her and around her. And the way she taps into the ancestors, you know, we all be like, oh, it's a blessing until she get that talking to them and then be like, oh, here she go again. You know, because they do come and they will start talking and they will tell you your business. And we all be like, yep. Oh, well, here she goes. But
I think everybody has one of those. Everybody somewhere in their circle had one of them.
Right. And that be her.
What was the point of fear? You had a question. I want to hear it. What was the point? What?
So my question was, you know, what would be the point of calling forth a demon, right? So, I mean, there has to be a point if you're saying that all these negative things can happen if you are calling them forth and making some type of bargain with them, right? So you have to be careful of your animals. You have to be careful of your children. And if they're coming because of, you know, seeking blood or sacrifice or whatever else, then what level of need or what dire strait do you have to be in order to say, okay, from a spiritismal standpoint, this is where I'm going with this?
Well, then, again, you got to look at it this way. When they developed or when they did the syncretism, they started doing this generic version, they incorporated that particular aspect into the mainstream espiritismo. But it's just like everybody else in your espiritis, just like Palo, Orisha, everybody has their good sides and their bad sides. They have their good groups and their bad groups. So you're going to have a set of espiritismo dedicated to working only bad. So those are the ones, that's where they incorporated that particular aspect. And they just thought, oh, well, everything is fine and hunky-dory. We just put the seven colors down. And it's just like everything else. You're not going to tell a person or reveal too much secrets about it when they come asking about it. Oh, what's this seven color represent? Oh, no, this represents the seven whatever they invented, and everybody just ran with it, you know? So when they worked with those demons, they are experts. They know what they need to do, how to conjure them, and what they got to do to send it to somebody or do whatever damage they're going to do.
Okay. So this is interesting for me because my experience with espiritismo or having Anissa has always been different than this. So there's always been the table with the white cloth and the white candles or whatever. I shouldn't say always, because there has been a time where other colors have ended up on the table, and during that whole experience, the person that was doing the Misa was very concerned that they had to put colors on the table, but they wouldn't tell me why they were putting colors on the table. So that was interesting. It's very interesting that you are discussing the fact that colors represent different things.
Oh, yeah, well, if they're trying to keep it away, it's because, well, obviously they know something bad's coming, or hopefully they ain't trying to use you as a guinea pig. You know, I hope that wasn't the case.
Yeah, I know that's right. Right.
Yeah, no, because that would have been bad. But the thing is that I'm talking about the espiritismo, more or less the generic version. I'm weeding around the espiritismo that I practice, you know, to myself.
Right.
But as far as when we're talking about the world of spirits itself, or dealing with ancestors and dealing in the spirit realm. And me and ancestors discussed this a long time ago. There's certain other elements out here that I could tell you that I've seen that are way beyond our block, way beyond our city, way beyond our state. And these certain spirits, and I'm pretty sure you may have seen one or two, or entities or energies that revolve and makes certain things function in aspect of, let's say, your city. There's certain things that make your city function. The thing is that people don't pay attention to these because they weren't taught about that. They don't understand what makes your city function besides the material plane.
Right.
So you're taught a certain level. You're taught at a certain stage to work, what we say, work in your square. You work in your square. You work in your circumference of energy and help the people in your square, okay, or your circumference of energy. But as you get deeper, and this is where the espiritistas and the, you know, the ancestor, the Bakulu, and all of this plays a part. At a certain level, these people have to step out of that square, and they have to start dealing with those outside entities. There's a lot of different classifications for them, but once you tap into that level, you're going to have to deal with them sooner or later, and you have to be very well prepared to deal with them sooner or later, because they're going to come and ask for you, or they're going to come look for you, and that's where you have to have your knowledge on how to deal with them, or pact with them, or whatever the case may be, to
right.
keep the world moving. Let's just put it that way. Robert and I think discussed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had some experience within the ancestral realm where I've done work for clients that have not taken very good care of their ancestors, and their ancestors are like, look, I'm ready, you know, let's make a pact. I'm ready to work for you and leave them alone. So that was interesting
mm-hmm.
for me when that first began to happen, and I talked to my Tata about it, and we talked a lot about the fact that if you aren't in tune with your ancestor or the entities that are in support of you, you aren't taking care of them, they will contract themselves out
mm-hmm.
away from you, which was a very, very interesting aspect or dynamic for me. I ended up with, I called him because I didn't want to pull up my driveway, a line of spirits at my door. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
Tata, I don't even want to go home. I had all these people outside, you know, and how to deal with that, with the fact that spirits see that you're willing to do work, or ancestral spirits, and other people are not. So that was an interesting thing. So what is your thought around that?
Well, I could see that happening. I mean, I could see that happening, just like I see another person be able to pass or be mounted with somebody else's ancestor. I've seen that happen and be
mm-hmm.
accurate. So if a person is able to mount with another person's ancestor, I can see themselves contract themselves out. But it all depends on the situation, too, because it's just as well could be an ancestor or just could be something passing itself to be an ancestor.
Yeah.
And contract itself
right.
out. So all of that,
mm-hmm.
you have to take all that into consideration, you know. And then, you know, you ascertain whether, okay, is this the ancestor or is this something else trying to cut into my ancestry
mm-hmm.
and trying to cut and start jacking things up. Because just as much as an ancestor can contract themselves out, then you have very good, I'm going to use the word warlock, witch, brujo,
mm-hmm.
tata, you can use all that,
mm-hmm.
and they're very skilled at that, so they'll put something in place. Let's say that to come at you, for example, they'll put something
mm-hmm.
in place. Come read me. Oh, I want to, you know, he's already spoken to that spirit. You're going
right.
to call yourself such and such, this and that, this and that. I think I'm teaching too much. But, you know, and then you go, and then it passes itself as an ancestor.
Right.
So you
got to
look at the variables mm-hmm. and understand that. But normally, like, we link, like, ancestor link. Okay, here's an example where you know it's ancestors or a spirit link. The first time I saw you, I think we had spirits from the same tribe.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And
yes.
that was, yeah, we had spirits from the same tribe, and that's because, obviously, they're going to recognize each other. So they're going to start communicating. You know, so
mm-hmm.
you don't have to necessarily be direct bloodline not to be linked.
Right.
Because if my ancestors from that tribe and your ancestors from that tribe are somewhere down the line, we're family.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at it that way, right?
Right.
Okay. I see it. A lot of people are asking about the shrines, but what I want to do before we begin to answer about the shrines and the altars and the difference between the two, I would like to take a small 2 or 3 minute break, then come back and begin to ask the questions. Y'all can call in, and the call-in number is 347-989-8707. We'll be right back.
Congo de Guinea soy. Ay, sin la buena noche en criollo. Congo de Guinea soy. Ay, la buena noche en criollo. Yo deja mi hueso allá. Yo viene a hacer caridad. Yo deja mi hueso allá. Yo viene a hacer caridad.
Welcome back.
Maleko Sala.
All right. Well, we got a few people asking about altars and shrines and how would you set one up if you, someone asked that, who was that? Okay. She asked Tawana, Tawana Nicole. She said if you have seven different ancestors represented, should you put a different glass for each one of them up there? Well, my answer is yes and no. If you're setting the glass up, say, for like your grandmother, know that that's your grandmother's glass. And I wouldn't use that glass for anything else. But I find it easier to maybe set one for the males, set one for the females, and set one for the guardian spirit of the family and so forth. You know, that I found works out. At one point, I only used one bowl to represent them all, and that worked out well for me. You know, part of it is intention, and part of it is what you set it for. But it's not like you can keep changing the meanings of what you set things for. That's why it's always good to find someone who knows about the situation, someone you can consult with. Whether it's in the spirit of Tizmo, whether it's a practitioner of a tradition, or someone that has been dealing with it for a while. I'm not saying that you have to belong to any religion to set up an ancestral shrine. That's not what I'm saying. But at least get assistance from someone that's been doing it for a while and know what they're doing. What do you say about that, Tato?
Oh, I agree. You know, like I said, this has become generic. Like we said, everything is becoming generic, as a matter of fact, but you still need assistance from somebody with experience. My wife and I, we got our experiences from our family. So this was passed down, you know. And then later on, of course, we learned the other systems, but still learning in the other systems, there was a teacher. There was somebody to help guide the initial steps for the person. So you always get some either family or professional help dealing with your ancestor, at least in the initial stage. And then from there, once the connection is made, the person should be able to slowly build up and carry on with their ancestors.
Absolutely.
Now, as far as my ancestor setup, that all varies. It all depends.
What do you say, Yai Nafir?
Okay, I put myself on mute. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I agree with what you both have said. The way that I was taught initially before my ancestral initiation was to have at least three glasses and then to go up to seven depending upon what the ancestors wanted. And for me, it shifts, it really depends on what my ancestors are on at a particular time period. So sometimes there are more glasses than others. It just really depends on what is, like I said, what is happening. But it does, as you said, Taita, really depends on having a teacher that takes you to through that process until you are stable enough in your ancestors that you understand that you are really hearing from them and not some outside energy. So I know a lot of people think that they can read a book or take one class and they know what they need to know to deal with their ancestors, but each one of those glasses represents some level of portal. It's not just putting a glass of water up there. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So you have to be in tune with that and have a teacher that's going to take you along that path, because sometimes you don't, you know, necessarily understand everything that you're hearing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know what's the other problem also is, just like with everything else, it's become very fast. Everything, they want us to move at a very fast pace. The thing is this, you know, and this is for anybody in any type of asset, any system, but we're talking about ancestors, epitetimo. We'll start with that first spirit, okay? A lot of people want to jump and start learning all about all the other spirits at one time. Once they're on their own, you start with that one spirit, the one that you begin with. Learn the ins and outs of that spirit, everything, the way it comes, the way it talks, what it likes, what it doesn't like. Know it in and out, so that way you don't make a mistake in the future when the other ones come along and something else comes, might throw the same vibe, might throw the same energy, and you confuse it with your main.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you take your time and you study that first one and then successively go each. This is why it takes a long time. It's just like anything else. It takes a while. You learn your first one, then your second one, no matter how many ancestors you have. And then you'll be adept in identifying your personal spirits, because if you look at it in the spirit world, there's going to be some things with similar energies. Some of them are going to look the same. Some of them are going to dress the same. So you have to know yours in and out before you just start jumping and having like 30 or 40 spirits in your circle.
Mm-hmm. Drive you crazy.
And that's why I tell people to deal with what we call the Vakulu Bakaka, your main ancestor first, the one who comes back with you and teach you and guide you. Not every tradition is like that, but let's tell everybody to deal with that one. Okay, I'm talking. Nafir, can you explain the relationship a little bit with the first and main ancestor and how that would help you to deal with the others? Is somewhat like what Tata said. Be right back.
Right. Okay, so within the Bakulu system, your Bakulu Bakaka is the main ancestor that comes back with you, but also is the one that kind of limits the traffic or the ability of other ancestral spirits that are trying to communicate with you so that you aren't bombarded by the energy, because you can literally drive yourself crazy if you are trying to understand or communicate with or channel all of the ancestors that want to get close to you and touch you. Because when we get initiated into systems, all the spirits are coming forth because they're happy that you're there and they're being recognized. But with the Bakulu Bakaka, once you tap into that one, that spirit will navigate the next one that you're supposed to get to learn and come close to, and then the one after that that you're supposed to get to learn and come close to. But what I find from the American side is we've been so cut off from our traditions that when we get an opportunity to be exposed to it, we try to take on everything. We haven't learned anything.
Right. I agree with you 100%. That's why, you know, for the listening audience, it's very imperative that they be patient. And like you said, just start with, whether it's the Bakulu Pakaka or where you're starting with your main guide in the Pitipimo. We have our set rituals for that to sit or seat the main spirit, the head ancestor. So we have similarities in certain things. In that aspect, I want you, you know, make a point about that. Whereas in Cuba, they have the Palo de Ifá and the Orisha system, okay, that predominated there. But in Puerto Rico, there's a lot of Congo element, depending on where you at in Puerto Rico, a lot of Congo element to the Espiritismo. This is a thing that a lot of people don't understand. There's a lot of Congo element to the Espiritismo. What has developed over the years is, again, a hybrid form. But if you go further back or further up the mountains, it's more Congo-based. It's just the practice didn't branch out the same way as Orisha, Lukumi, all the stuff that came out. But as the main stress for Cuba is those systems, Espiritismo was the first line of defense, which would be the ancestor reverence. So there are certain things that are done. That's why I say there are certain things that we practice that I don't speak about, but it's more Congo-based. You know, it's not just those glass cups of water. There are certain things that the Yaya practices that is Congo-based that, you know, in her system, what she does for putting the main ancestor is very Congo-based. And depending on the location or what she does is how she sits the main ancestor or the or the first seven. It all depends on the person who comes in, you know, or the first three in her system. So, but there's a lot of Congo element involved that is shown or that is introduced into the main system now? No. Primarily because of what you see now everybody doing online. But there's a lot of Congo elements there.
So what advice would you give those that want to work with their ancestors but they are not connected to a reputable teacher?
Ooh. I recommend patience and patience, because there's a lot of impatient people. Our society is very impatient. Patience and just look for a teacher. If you don't have anybody in your family, look for a teacher, but take your time. Regardless of the fact, if you're going to get a good teacher, that teacher is going to make you take your time anyway. So don't find somebody that's going to hurry everything up for you and say, I'm going to give you 10,000 spirits and you're going to be ready to go. The teacher is going to make you take your time. Any good reputable teacher, as far as the Pitipimo is concerned, is going to make you take your time with that.
Okay. I echo exactly what you just said. When I first came into the Bakulu tradition, I will have to say that there was nothing that my Tata could have told me to slow me down, because I felt as though I already had this connection with the ancestors and I could just go full speed ahead. And so he let me do that until I got to a point where I was like, I feel like I'm going crazy. I can't stop him from talking. I can't, you know, all these different things. And he said, okay, now you ready to listen? And I was ready to listen. And so that goes back to the being patient and taking it step by step by step instead of trying to engorge yourself. Because I know that there are some people, even people that I've worked with, that feel like they want to gorge themselves on the knowledge and the information and everything that's out there, instead of taking a step back and saying, okay, let me be patient and find a teacher that I can trust is going to feed me as much as I can handle what I'm ready for at that particular time period so that you don't damage yourself.
Exactly. See, the thing is that a lot of people that may be in the systems right now, they might be in the systems and they might have been convinced what they might be practicing. I'm not saying everybody, but what they might be practicing or what they might be feeling or what the collective of their community is practicing or feeling is what it's supposed to be. So they feel comfortable. They feel as though, well, you can't sell me nothing, or I do this, or I light a candle and I see shadows. And the thing is that the spirit world period goes more in depth than what you when a person sees something or hears something. It goes more in depth to other things that sometimes the general community can't handle if it doesn't manifest. So then we go back to, you got to go back to that, to the, you know, the people listening in. You can accidentally tap into something that you're not ready to handle, and it can hurt somebody. So you got to, again, be careful.
Absolutely right. And I don't know why I thought that we were going to get on here and be able to cover that wide range in one show. I'm kind of feeling like the focus just on what ancestors are, what they consist of, how they can function in your life as a block or as one who opens the roads. I think that's the very beginning, because like I said, I tell everyone, if you want to start, get that family tree done. Best of your ability, go back as far as you can. And they would even help you with the search. Get a consultation from someone. Even now, we in a modern time, take advantage of, do your DNA test. You know, there's many of them out there you can use. 23andMe, National Geographic, Ancestry.com. There's many avenues you can use nowadays. You know, but when it comes to which one you're working with, I think everyone should consult someone and know what they're doing, and please do not wing it. Now, I winged it in the beginning, and the only reason I'm telling people don't wing it is because I got into a lot of trouble. I caught a lot of heartaches and pains winging it, a lot of headaches. But when they finally opened the door, the blessings were many. Because they see my persistence. You know, they knew that this guy ain't going to stop. We done kicked his ass and kicked his ass some more, and he's still coming. You know? And like you said, so take your time. Learn to work with him. Learn the difference in that energy. Because if you got that main one, you really do need to know that one. Because that's the one that's going to save your butt, open doors. It doesn't have to be one that was maybe like a preacher, or one that was a Sunday school teacher, or one that, you know, was a police officer with the gold medals, or the warrior. These are some things that people are used to. You might have Uncle Willie, who was a drunk, but he was smart as hell. You understand? You know, I don't advise people to go out and work with the ones that are wicked as hell. That's not the advice I would give. I'm just going to tell you, don't shut them out. But I wouldn't say go work with them. If that doesn't make sense, I'm saying deny none, but watch who you work with. That's the point.
You
I'm
know,
saying.
I'm like... 100%. So I was just going to say, I liken it to, if you talk about the main ancestors, sitting at a boardroom table. Right, and you can have your ancestors through time immemorial, but there's only one chairman of the board that everybody's going to look to conduct business the way that it needs to be conducted. So it behooves us to be connected to that chairman of the board, because that's going to influence everything else down the line and you getting done what you need to get done.
I agree.
That's absolutely, and it's funny that you say that. I guess we're going to have some of the same thought process, because I used to tell people, I see them as the council. You know how they have in Greek tales, they have Mount Olympus? Now, I'm seeing all your ancestors in like this real big circle looking down like, watch this fool, or throw this in his way, or or let's see how you can handle this, or let's see how you can deal with this. You understand what I'm saying? How they seen the gods, that's how I see the ancestors. As sitting up, not just playing games, but trying to get you to learn the lessons that you need to in life.
Right.
So you can pass it on, you know. And I often see them like that. I see an ancestral council, you know.
I know these guys are dangerous. That's what I know. They're dangerous, and when they're angry, and they're marvelous when they're happy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I could tell you. There was I think I told you the one story. That one that is cousin to the fear spirit. that one particular. Give me an example how dangerous. This is what I mean. That one spirit presents itself in a crowd full of people and is speaking. And as it's speaking, there's a gentleman in the crowd. It starts bad-mouthing. So the spirit looks and says, I don't have to get out of my chair to slap him. So the guy's egging the spirit on, saying, okay, well, come on. Do what you got to do. Do what you got to do. He says, patience, I'll get to you. Let me finish talking to the people that is here. So then all of a sudden, these people they just came in late. They came from outside. They started saying hello to everybody. When they reached the guy, the one guy slaps the mess out of the other guy. And he's like, why did you slap me? He's like, I don't know. I just went to say hello to you, and I don't understand why. It's the spirit that told you I didn't have to get out of my chair to slap the mess out of you.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can do that, imagine what they can do when they're angry.
Right. Because it's mad phenomenal.
It's very dangerous. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And that's another thing. we have results. We witness phenomena, you know, and it's some things that people probably, you know, mind to be blown if they've seen it or had to deal with it. You know, I can't speak for anybody else's house, but I know for this house, you know, and being in Muna, we have seen some crazy stuff. You know, everybody can't deal with it. They ask to see it, but when they see it, they really can't deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now let me rewind and get back to these ancestors. And we were talking about the different kind.
Mm-hmm.
Ones that like you, the ones that don't like you, the ones that are protect you, the ones that inspire you, like their, what's them things called? Muses.
Muse,
you know?
Yes.
Right. You could have ancestors that would come in different forms for you. But until you know that main one, you don't know what the rest of them are anyway. You might liken it to something like, well, that's that old Shun energy. The only reason you know that because you done read a book or you done heard someone say that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I had many of people tell me, well, Oshun came to me in my dream. Maybe that wasn't Oshun. Maybe that was one of your, you know, ancestors. You only liken it to that because you're reading. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Or you liken that to something else. And it's understandable, but that can be dangerous. Very dangerous. You know, I advise people, first seek out that which is on your mother, father's side. Now, I often get the question, well, what if I'm adopted? Well, even if you're adopted, you can call on them spirits by position instead of name. Grandmother
mm-hmm.
on this side, grandfather on this side. They know exactly who you're talking about. But then that's when the work really begins, because you have to sit down and understand that energy you're dealing with. You know, you really do. Now, here's the part with the shameful plug. I have an ancestor healing divination set that will help you with this as well. You know, get the set and learn how to, you know, divine with it. It is very helpful, and it is really a good set, you know. And if you want to check it out, you can go to www.ancestorhealing.org. Okay, that's
so what's
for the
this,
shameful plug.
What does
yeah, I would say that's stuff? Not necessarily a shameful plug, right? So
I mean, shameless.
Yeah, shameless. Okay, shameless plug. All right, so then I could roll with that. But what I will say is this, you know, it would behoove folks to at least get the spiritual investigation and then work on getting connected to their Bakulu through the shrine and getting the divination set with that so that they can divine appropriately with their ancestors and actually learn what it is that they're supposed to be doing and how to really tap into the power that is within their DNA, really activate themselves. You know, and I could say personally, being a part of that whole dynamic of when that set began to become birth and being in the midst of all of that and really beginning to see how the ancestors were speaking through those pieces, I mean, you just can't, I can't even tell you the whole phenomenon that happened that day that you and I were reading with Zamani.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That whole phenomenon and me tweaking and stuff off some other stuff,
right.
I ain't going to go into the whole thing of it, but just how the ancestors came through from throwing the set. And I even know to do ancestors like that, and you know that, and I started telling him
right.
these people, but that came from my hands being on that set and connecting with him. And people can't really understand this aspect of it until they're actually involved in the phenomenon. You don't get there until you actually take the step and make the commitment to be connected to your people, because that goes far beyond anything else, because the ancestors are first and foremost in everything.
And I'm going to finish it up. I'm going to finish that off and say they're last. You know, a lot of people don't understand what I mean by that. But when you have that whole thought process that everything is an ancestor, that even goes back to what some call Nzambi and Pungu. And in the Congo, he is the first ancestor, you know. And then you go back to them and you deal with Kaluk and them. These are ancestors that you come out, so you know the planets are. You know, science says you're made of stardust. Then the animals. When you begin to see the world like that, there's no more disrespecting nature. There's no more disrespecting the animals. There's no more yelling clueless or like you don't have any power. You understand what I'm saying? Because you're tapped into everything. And once you get that, and once you focus in on the ancestors, the ones that's closest to you, and branch out, by the time you get to that the big picture, you'll realize that everything you deal with, if you're a priest, whether it's Palo, whether it's Ocha, whether it's Haitian Vodun, you'll realize that everything you're dealing with is connected to you ancestrally somehow, in some way. You may not get it because we have this minute thinking going on, you know, but it's connected somehow to you. If it was not, you wouldn't be dealing with it. Or wouldn't be dealing with you successfully. Now, if you just got something to have it and there's no success in it, that's just because you wanted it. You're not following your ancestral ways. You're following the ways of what you think you should be doing or what's more powerful to you in your imagination.
Ego.
And I would say that the set is not necessarily just key to Congo, because we know our beautiful Asian sister that has taken that
Fiona.
Set.
She don't went
and
there and went ham with that set.
With her Asian ancestors. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we have people in our house that aren't Congo-based, but have the ability to connect back to their ancestors. So the whole point that I'm making is it doesn't necessarily tie you to a Congo system. It really relates back to whatever system your ancestors are connected to.
Absolutely. Because as you know, Yasmin is nowhere near Congo, but boy, she gets it in. You know, that's the truth.
Nor does
she
try to be Congo.
In. No, at all. But she really, oh man, she gets it in. And when I see her work her stuff, you know, I'm not going to put the names on it, but when I see her work her saints and work the things that she have on her shrine, oh, she's a monster with it. That's like Marius. Marius is coming into his own thing. And he's not Congolese. You understand?
He sure ain't. And I sure enough got one of them shrines he built me, too. That's like bad as most.
You touching on that subject is funny. You know what? It's very funny that you touch upon that subject. You're absolutely right. You know what? Another thing, and we're veering a little bit, just a tad off, just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But you're absolutely right. Everybody needs to stop thinking. I know I have Congo. I can speak for that. But everybody needs to stop thinking that they have to be tapped, like you said, tapped into Congo or be of Congo bloodline or Congo ancestry or whatever the case may be to be working on something. I agree with you. But there's a lot of people that misclassify these things. You might have African, might, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't necessarily mean Congo. It doesn't necessarily mean that.
Absolutely.
Okay? Now, you might come down with a spirit, for example. I'll give you an example. I'll come down with a spirit, right? And I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about I'll come down with a spirit. I was 12, let's say, 12 years old. I come down with a spirit. I start speaking a crazy language, right? I don't know what I'm speaking about. Find out later that it's Congo. Guess what? I have Congo blood. It's been speaking. That's Congo, you see? But if he comes down and he's speaking some other language and it's Yoruba, then guess what? Then your bloodline is Yoruba. You know, do not claim a Congo because you don't have that consistency of that happening. This is another thing that people do with the generic practice.
Mm-hmm. Everybody think, okay, black Congo.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I don't even want to get into that. I don't even want to get into that storyline.
I will. It's like, you know, it's like what happened to the Akan. Asante, rather, what happened to the Igbo? You know, what part, which Congo? You know what I'm saying? Luanda?
This is the whole thing. I think we discussed that. I think we discussed that a while back. That there was a couple of spirits over here speaking, and I had to find the location of their dialect because they were speaking to me in straight Congo. Some was Congo, some was from some other area, and I had to look up the whole entire dialect to understand what the hell they were telling me.
We had that discussion.
Remember that? Yeah,
that's
insane.
We absolutely did.
But again,
it's just
not everybody does
that.
Mm-hmm.
No, and that's the point. Take your time. Learn this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing wrong. I don't know why people with a Congo is the strongest. That's my personal viewpoint because I have it in me. You know what I'm saying? That's just what I say because that's what I choose to love to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying that the Yoruba or the Lakumi or the they're less pop. No, that's not what I'm saying. I just, you know, stick for my team. You know, I respect all and say, but at least, even if you're dealing with those things, find out the ancestral base, the historical base. Find out what the hell you're dealing with. Tap into the power of it. And the power, watch how this works out. If you tap into the energy of it, the history of it, your shrine begins to look like what they build. And they begin to teach you why they build it like that. Now it's really becoming empowered. Because you have the knowledge to go with your setup. With inside of the ancestor divination system, we have altar cloths and how to set up the ancestors on the altar cloths so they can be more productive, so they can be more empowered based off of which direction you send them in, what color you send them on, what you put in that circle with them. It begins to make sense to you once you explain to your ancestors. It makes sense to them, and they'll begin to function with you through the way you have it set up. Okay, take this over for 1 second. We only got 16 minutes. I'm putting it on mute. Be right back.
Yep.
Yeah, and so the other thing I would say is to be committed and don't system hop from one thing to the next thing, right?
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, besides me agreeing, you know I have my personal opinion about system hopping.
Please,
you know,
share.
No. See, there's something. Okay, this is a personal opinion, right? With logic. But if you're jumping from system to system, I can understand two systems. I can't see any more than two. It's a very select few that have the path to work multiple practices. There's a very chosen few. Nowadays, there's pretty much everybody's doing it. But when you are doing more than two paths, your base path will be your ancestors. Okay? And then if you have another path, whether it be follow or whatever it may be, but if you keep going out of path to different practices, there's something wrong. there's something that's not complete or is constantly being done wrong, where you have to repeat over and start from scratch in a different system. So if you go in from scratch in a different system and you build back up and then something's wrong and you start from scratch in a different system, there's something wrong, something's not completed. So when you're past two systems, you have to stop, focus, and check what's going on. Because, see, the bad habit that people have is when things get rough, they want to jump to a different system instead of dealing with what they got or resolving it. So that's my personal opinion. I don't think anybody should be doing more than two systems, except for a very select few that has a lot of responsibility.
So do you find that the system hopping is more an American thing, or do you find that in the other regions that you deal with?
I think system hopping is an American thing, a Western thing, but I also think it's people themselves not being fulfilled, period, because we can say it's an American thing here, but I've known people from other countries that have no relevance to any of these practices but are still in multiple paths of other things. They have jumped into from Pentecostal to Buddha to Zen because they haven't been fulfilled. So it's more of a person not being fulfilled spiritually. They might think they want something, and when they go to that certain path, even though they might have it or they might deal with it, they don't feel fulfilled. There's a void there. So they'll continue jumping systems until they find that void, and some people spend their entire life looking for that. This is the error. This is the mistake. But then, that I'm going to speak in my book. I'm not going to say too much about that, and you'll understand what I mean by that.
Okay. So do you think that the ancestors is really the first? Because I subscribe to the view that before anything, the ancestors is your first stop or your first religion or first system, so to speak.
Oh, yes. But see, the thing is this, when I'm going to put that in my, it's in my book, you'll be reading it, people are going to understand, not just you, a lot of people are going to understand a lot more as far as what ancestors are concerned and how the ancestors in these practices tie in together. Something that Robert was already saying, but they just don't know or understand at this point how these practices that are currently out have to deal a lot with the ancestors. That'll be coming out soon, too. But the ancestors are first.
Of course. And last. That's just my, opinion. Someone's asking and learning the ways and characters of your main Baku, what would be the steps to take? She says, I just don't want to have a candle burning and say prayers alone if I should be doing something else. Well, that's the part where the initiation can be spoke about, especially dealing with Bakulu or any tradition that deals with ancestors. Other than that, besides the family tree, setting something for them, learning how to set that altar up in a particular way and work with them, this is where it takes patience. Because people will see phenomena, but it's not the way they want to see it. Once again, that's the patience thing. It's not a rush thing. I've been doing this for a long time. And they didn't just automatically say, hey, man, here, we're going to give you all this. It took hours of sitting down. It took years of going through ups and downs and making mistakes. We all are going to do that at some point. Because we are the ones who interpret. We may mess up in our interpretation. It's not that they messed up in what they had to say. We just messed up in our interpretation of what they had to say or what they want us to do. Because we're not at that level yet to fully hear them and understand them, less known which one it is speaking. Once again, there is a pitfall in just doing it in a commercial way. You'll have that ancestor that don't like you, and you don't know that, and he's telling you to go over here and do this. Well, it don't seem bad. Mm-hmm. You do it, here comes failure. Or it sets emotions in a way where you know, it's going to be difficult to come back off of it. Or you could be simply out at a party one night and don't know why you just, like Tata said, but you don't know why you just slapped shit out of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Now that began a whole new thing of trouble. Why did I just go off on someone? So that ain't me. Oh, yep, nope, surely enough wasn't. So the main thing is family tree. If you can, do your DNA and know all them. Learn what the family do traditionally by asking questions. Once those things are accomplished, if you want to find a tradition that deals with that does it in a particular way that is successful and it has been proven to be successful, take that step. Other than those things, there's no ta-ta, no, yeah, you're going to say, well, yeah, you know what, come on over and do it this way. No, because it's a road to that. Dues be paid. And I'm not just talking financial dues. There's things that have to be done. You know, you have to prove that you're ready for it, that you're worthy of it. You have to prove that, okay, I'm dedicated to this. Because you'll have a time they won't say shit for a few months.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're still at it, they're going to crack a door open and then you'll be overwhelmed with the blessings, literally overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's not this quick fix thing. It's not this thing that you're going to get like the... It was a drive-through window. That's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
And if a person is promising you that, know that they're wrong. It's not going to happen like that. The process, it's a process. And you have to begin somewhere. In consultation or receiving a Misa or receiving one of those things that would tell you about your ancestors or your spiritual court and how they're functioning with you. That is the first. That's your first steps, you know. And they may seem like baby steps, but they're not. Those are great steps, and you can spend years just working with your ancestors. I mean, years, in your spiritual court, and you like, wow, I'm feeling mighty confident, mighty successful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to take that time, but get with someone and work with that person. And the house jumping and the ta-ta and the yayi jumping, the olorisha, the bottle orisha jumping, the hogan and that jumping, stop that.
Mm-hmm.
Every house damn near do something different.
Exactly.
You understand? So you have to get that in your head. You can't go to ta-ta so-and-so and say, well, they do it like this over here. All right. What you done did was betray that spirit of that ta-ta. And if some stuff started going wrong... Oh, well, and that just don't go with Apollo. That goes for all of them.
Let me tap into that one part. Depending on the Apollo house you're in, this is why I say it. We'll discuss that another time. But depending on the Apollo house you're in and the ceremony you do, that ceremony is linked to your ancestors. Normally to your primary, because your primary ancestor is the one to take. Depends on the Palo house that you landed, the type of Palo house, okay? That ancestor initiates with you. That ancestor gets linked to that line. So you just can't just up and leave that line when you're connected to your ancestry. Because you just house jumping like that and getting cut into different lines, all you're doing little by little is peeling whatever ancestor you might have left. So don't think it's that simple. I mean, there's a lot of commercial houses that are a lot of crappy houses. I understand you might get away with it. But don't land on that one that's actually legitimate and you did legitimate ceremonies and think, oh, well, I don't like how they're doing anything here. Let me jump to the next one. Because then your ancestor's stuck there because, like, hey, we did this pact here. So that's another thing that deals with, depending on that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I will add that the relationship with your ancestors is like a relationship with your mate. And if you are hopping from this house to that house, this tradition to that tradition, that says a lot about how you even relate to people on an everyday basis, not being able to make a commitment. And being an ancestor reverence, you have to be able to make a commitment and have an ongoing relationship. You know, in a marriage, in 1 year, you're not going to have that connection and that power base between the two of you that you have in 30 years. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There is a level of commitment and a level of work that has to happen in order for that relationship to thrive. And there will be time periods where that relationship, y'all just ain't balanced. Y'all ain't on the same page. You might be feeling like, am I supposed to be doing this? I'm lighting this one candle. I got this bowl of water and ain't nothing happening. But you have to keep on working at that relationship in order for it to continue to be stronger and in order for you to get connected to the right house, connected to the right teacher, and connected to your main ancestor enough where you can continue to thrive and grow.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't come into it expecting that I'm going to have in 1 year of progress, I'm going to get 30 years of marital growth.
Exactly. I agree with that. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Is Tata, are you still here? He might have stepped out. We have about 3.5 minutes left. If someone has a question, they can press the number 1 or type it into the chat group, and we'll answer that question. Otherwise, Thaisa, you have any closing thoughts?
Closing thoughts, spirits are dangerous. Do not experiment. Get yourself a proper teacher, and no matter what system you're in. And I say salam alaikum and good night to everybody. It's been a pleasure being on Ancestor Healing Chronicles. Salam alaikum to Salimbo. Salam alaikum to Yai Nufir. You guys have a good night.
I'm here, and thank you all for coming through. I enjoyed the show, and thank you for your patience putting up with me and my little issue tonight. Thank you, Yai Nufir. Thank you, Tata. Assalamu alaikum to both of you, and may your ancestors bless you, and may you your journey towards them be one of success. Like she said, you don't come in thinking you're going to get 30 years worth of an experience in 1 year. Assalamu alaikum, Yayi.
So I will say this. Don't sleep on one candle and a bowl of water. Do not sleep on that. It may seem like something very, very remedial, but I will tell you from experience, one candle, a bowl of water, and a simple prayer will light your life on fire and make some very powerful things happen. Don't get caught up in the glamour of the miraculous shrine that's built from the floor to the ceiling and all of that. Start off simple. Start courting your ancestors like you would court the woman you want or the man that you want, and you will begin to see some powerful things happen. They just need to know that you want to be connected to them as much as they want to be connected to you. And with that, I say salam alaikum, alaikum salam.
All right. Well, until next week, y'all, may everyone enjoy themselves and may your days be blessed. All right, everyone. See you the next time.
Well, it's early in the morning,
he gonna ride and fly,
baby. Until it begs, I got so, oh baby, until it begs, I got so.